Good evening, in partnership with AndTheValleyShow.com, it's The Go Show, your original LSU podcast, coming to you on a Wednesday night, September 26th, 2012, kicking it old school tonight. Me and Patrick Morris in the house, the dynamic duo, as once we once were on these midweek shows, are back at it by ourselves, so hell hath no fury as we kick it. As only we know how. So Patrick Morris from Ponchatoula, Louisiana. Not originally, but in Ponchatoula, Louisiana. His current residence, place of residence. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm just dandy. As in the words of Marvin, what's happening?
Marvin, I like when Marvin gets on the show because he always brings up like the old like 90s cliche commercials. Like he's always like, what's up? He likes to
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, yeah. Konnichiwa, wasabi. I am Kerry Muntz. I am 25 miles east of Patrick Morris in Mandeville, Louisiana. Mandabita, technically. I am on the cusp of Abita Springs in Mandeville. So here we are. Let's talk about LSU and Auburn. LSU squeaks out a 12-10 victory, which we will get into. Ways to get in touch with the show, as always, goshow@gmail.com. Go to the website, the new and improved website, www.andthevalleyshook.com, andthevalleyshook.com. Go check out the new web design, a little different from the old one, new logo, new everything, but once you kind of navigate through it, it's pretty easy to get used to. It's nothing complicated. It's a web page. It's the internet. Come on now. I'm sure most of you computer savvy people know what to do. Ways to listen to the show, currently with a new website design. There is no Podtrac player currently on the site. You will just have to download us from iTunes. And I'm sure Podcat will post links to the Facebook page. As we are growing in Facebook popularity, last year we were trying to hit that 200 number. Patrick, I have a good feeling we're going to do it this year.
Where are we sitting?
182.
Oh, we got this.
Yes. So yeah, you can go to Facebook, like the show there. You will get random updates, but most of the time when shows come out, myself or Podcat post a link to it. So you can go to it that way if you don't want to just go to the website to find a link to the show. But as far as listening to the show archives and things like that, there is no Podtrac player currently linked to the new website design that is in the works. So we will keep you abreast of the situation as it unfolds. So a little bit of news and notes. It's not really good news and notes either. Today, it was known that Alfred Blue possibly out for the season. We kind of hoping maybe it was a 2 or 3 week thing, but Les Miles stated today that he was not too optimistic that Alfred Blue returns. Patrick, what this means is hopefully he can get a medical redshirt, or they can just redshirt. It would be a medical redshirt. It would be the only way you could get the redshirt on because he's already played in two games, or two and a half games. So you would not be able to get a standard redshirt. You have to apply that medical redshirt. So hopefully the NCAA is lenient with that, and he gets that extra year of eligibility with us. So your thoughts on that, on losing Blue, potentially for the season?
Well, it hurts us. I mean, I know everybody says we're deep at running back and this and that, but because we came out to start the season, we had an established running back. He was our number one running back. I mean, I don't care what you say, when you lose your number one running back, and he's the guy that started the season, he's the guy that everybody, obviously he did something in camp to warrant that, and then to lose him, it's going to be a blow. That's not to say that other guys can't step up, and I still expect the other guys to step up, but mentally, I think you saw a little effect of that against Auburn, you know, trying to find the identity, because you knew what Blue was going to do. You give him the ball, okay, here's 7-8 yards every time. At least, you know, here's the speed, here's what you expect out of him. Now it went back to a running back committee. So, yeah, it hurt us a little bit until we find exactly what that running game is going to be all about again. I mean, it's just basically reloading and revamping the running game. I mean, not that we don't have talent, but we're going to have to, you know, offensive linemen. I mean, it's a key for the offensive linemen. How am I going to block for this guy as opposed to this guy? It's a different mindset. So it's going to hurt us a little bit, but until we get it right.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if anything, it hurts the different number of ways we can attack a defense. As we talked about last week and the week before, about how every running back on this football team has a different style of running. you know, you got Michael Ford, who's the outside kind of guy. Blue kind of can do it all. Blue's not really a power back, but he can run in between the tackles. He can break the long runs. Spencer Ware is more of an inside guy. He can get outside, catch the ball out of the backfield. Kenny Hilliard's your bruiser. Jeremy Hill is kind of like the guy. And this is funny. You know, we raved and raved about Jeremy Hill last week. Did not get a single carry against Auburn. So
exactly. I mean, I don't understand that.
I don't know exactly, you know, the ins and outs of that, but you know, I expect to see him get some carries this weekend against Towson. So, you know, that being said, let's kind of move on to the game, and you know, a 12-10 victory is really not, I mean, there's a lot to be said about it. You know, my initial thoughts on this is just, it's, you know, LSU going on the road, first SEC game of the year, on the road, Zach Mettenberger's first start on the road, all that rigmarole. A really banged up offensive line going up against two excellent defensive ends. And it showed. Thoracic struggled mightily against, Corey Lemonnier. It caused a lot of problems, you know, turnovers early in the game, you know, potentially going up 7-0, which, you know, we end up getting a safety and we end up getting the ball right back and we go up 9-0. So you almost call that a wash, but the fact that we never really, they were stacking 8-9 men in the box the whole night. And, you know, I'm hearing calls on the radio saying why we didn't try to go downfield more. Well, we didn't have a chance to, because every time Zach Mettenberger tried to, he had to escape somebody coming off the end, avoid getting sacked, and it eventually resulted in a turnover, which, you know, that play could have been avoided himself because he could have stepped up and tried to throw that ball away there, but he may have held onto the ball a little bit too long on that play. But, you know, at the end of the day, a 12-10 victory, you take your victories however you can get them in the SEC, especially when you're on the road. Especially, I mean, I guess what kind of stings is you watch Auburn, how they've played to this point this season, losing to Mississippi State by 18, having to go to overtime to beat Louisiana Monroe. And, you know, we come in there and we can't, and we struggle offensively. It looks just like last year. And I think that's what everybody's biggest fear is, Patrick, is how much we struggled offensively.
It looks so much like that, like the last Alabama game. It didn't look like we changed anything. It didn't look like we tried to adjust anything. We kept at it, same thing, saying, okay, well, we're just going to try and get out of here with a victory and wear them down. Well, you get a couple mistakes, and that's how close the game was. Couple mistakes. I mean, anything would have worked better. You know, a quick, you know, the 5-yard slants, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just try and make something different work. Go to a different play calling set. You spread the field or something. You know, if they're coming up the field that quick, well, you know what? Spread the field and run. That's where your bubble screen comes in. I hate to say it, but that's where it comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was too much of a, I don't know, it was, we struggled at times to kind of find an identity on offense. It looked like we were, you know, the first quarter and a half, the first quarter, we were rolling. I mean, we were converting third downs. I think we had 120 yards of offense in the first quarter. And then, you know, we turned the ball over and they scored that touchdown to get a short field. It's 9-7. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was just, and after that, it was a struggle, the rest of the way. Not really until the middle to the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, we start to see a better attack. That's when they started just lining up I formation, running on the right side behind Hurst and Copeland, that we started getting some more yards on the ground that way. Again, drop passes and misplayed balls killing us. Odell Beckham drops a
I'm telling you, we just catch the ball. And
yeah,
Mettenberger's stats are double this year if he just catches the ball.
Yeah. But I'm getting concerned right now about Zach Mettenberger's propensity to turn the ball over in the red zone. It's 3 this year now. You know, the 2 interceptions are now the mishandled snap on the center exchange. I mean, down at the 2-yard line. I mean, it's, you know, these are things that they need to get worked out before we go into Gainesville. And that's for sure. Because Florida is a team that is right now dangerous. I mean, we don't really know what Florida is yet. They haven't, I mean, they've beaten up on some weak teams. I mean, we don't, Tennessee, we thought maybe was a good team, but possibly third or fourth best team in the SEC. I don't think that's going to really pan out for them. A&M, you know, kind of middle of the pack. they go on the road and they beat him, and then he beat up on a Kentucky team last week. That's just hopeless. So, but still, the team is gaining confidence. They're very good defensively. They're very good on the ends defensively, which again is a concern. Their offense, you know, Jeff Driscoll's kind of gaining some confidence and beating up on some weaker opponents, kind of padding his stats a little bit. But they're starting to form some, you know, they're starting to form a little bit of continuity out there in Gainesville, which has kind of got me worried.
Getting a little bit of a swagger back, so to speak.
Yeah, but, you know, in this game was, you know, and, you know, we've seen games like this before. I mean, in 2010, we, you know, if not for T-Bob Haley using his head and snapping a football, we lose to Tennessee. I mean, that still ended up being a good year for us. I mean, you know, last year we didn't really struggle too much except for against Alabama. That was a team that was no one in the nation. But, you know, when you think about 2009, and I'm going, Alabama struggled to beat a very bad Tennessee team that year. It took a blocked field goal by Terrence Cody to secure a victory there.
You know, you say that, and, you know, I kind of, you know, we were a little upset watching them. You know, we kept saying, oh, crap, we're going to wind up losing this game, whatever, because of just the stupidity. But every team in the SEC, you know, maybe minus Ole Miss because we don't like them. But, you know, every team's got that one game in them. You know, think about it. Auburn's playing the number two team in the country. So far, their season has been a bust. You know as well as I do, the number one thing that makes college fun is the emotion. Mm-hmm. It is the number one thing. The emotion, the adrenaline gets pumping. You're in your home crowd, in your home stadium. You've got the number two team in the country there who's viable for a national championship. The only game bigger to Auburn this year than us coming in there will be the Alabama game later in the year. Mm-hmm. You know? So think about it. I don't want to be nasty, but they probably shot their load in this game. No offense. Since everybody has to go download this, they can't go to the thing without having to get to it.
That's the thing. You're up.
That's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, you're up 9-0, and that turnover, I want to say it was late in the first quarter when they went and scored the touchdown. But you're up 9-0, you're driving the football, and I don't know if we don't turn the ball over there if we go in and score a touchdown. But you have the ball, you can potentially go up 16-0 on that drive and take the win out of their sails right there. But you give them a sign of life, you give them a short field, they make a play, and from that point on, it was a dogfight. Hats off to the defense, who quietly had themselves a very, very nice game. You know, they hit a couple plays here and there, but let's just go over the stats defensively and look at what we did. I don't have all the stats in front of me. I can tell you what, you know, third downs, Auburn, 2 of 12, 183 yards of offense, 97 yards passing, 86 yards rushing, a 3-yard carry average in rushing the football, 4.5 yards per pass. You know, forced 3 turnovers. I think we sacked Kyle Frazier 2 or 3 times. Sam Montgomery was a beast, wreaking havoc all night long. He got defensive player of the week, SEC defensive player of the week. So defensively, you know, I'm not worried. This is a team now, we haven't even touched on the penalties yet, the stupid penalties that we're shooting ourselves in the foot with these things. Turnovers and penalties are killing us because, you know, we didn't dominate the game offensively, but the way our defense played, that there's no reason that should not have been a 3-touchdown victory for us on Saturday night. So penalties, offensive line issues, turnovers, those are things that we need to correct, and we need to correct fast because we are running a murderer's row. From October 6th through the first weekend of November, we have a very tough stretch. So
we are out of time to get it, right, you know, where we need to be. I mean, Towson is it. My hope for Towson is that we come out, and that's the exact focus of this game. Not necessarily, okay, what plays are we running, this and that, but I'm almost, like you just said, I hope the focus of this game is, okay, I don't want a false start penalty. You're in your own deal. I don't want to see just the, you know, you're going to have a holding penalty every now and then. But I don't want to, you know, let's make sure you're in your proper spots. Let's make sure you're doing that. Let's just a little bit, you've got to mentally focus. And I want to, and I know we're playing Towson. It's going to be hard to do, but that's the kind of game you need. If you can focus against a team like Towson, and, you know you're going to beat them anyway, but you can really focus and give that crispness to offense, defense, special teams, then I feel much better because it's not the physical aspect of the game that we're losing. It's the mental aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's, you know, and what I want to see against Towson is what we do to correct the mistakes. You know, it's like you say, you don't want to see those stupid false start penalties. You don't want to see personal foul penalties. And that's, you know, I don't think you're going to see personal foul penalties like you did against Auburn because they're letting that home crowd, and they're letting Auburn kind of get to them. And that's going to happen in those games. You got to know how to keep your head. Those kind of things do not happen against teams like Towson. Those are penalties those are rage penalties, I guess you'd call it. Heated moment penalties where you're playing a conference opponent, that you face every year. You have a big rivalry with them and you're letting the moment get to you. The moment's getting too big and you react that way. And that was done. We had Jalen Mills commit a stupid one. LeVar Edwards had a very dumb one. That was very disappointing because he's a senior. So,
I'm actually happy though. Not happy, but in a way, it may be a godsend that we got this game out of our system. You know, so we, you know, not defensively, but just overall, okay, yeah, we did it. We escaped with our win. Everybody's going to have one of those games like that in the SEC. Everybody's going to have one, including Alabama. They're going to wind up having one against somebody where they're not going to play their best, but they're going to escape out of there with a win, and it's going to be the same kind of scenario. They're going to be on the road with somebody, and it's just going to happen. Yeah. But the fact that we got out of there with the win, I like the fact that we dropped in the polls. I know people are going to say, well, what the hell is he talking about? But the fact that we dropped in the polls, maybe that opens some eyes. Oh, crap, you know, if we don't maintain, we got the possibility of not competing here, you know?
Right.
Maybe
right.
That opens some eyes and gets the guys a little bit more focused this week in practice.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. And you know, talking about those games, as dominant as we were in the regular season last year, we did have one of those games early against Mississippi State where we wasn't really in danger of really losing that football game, but eking out a 19-6 win in Starkville, you know, still a double-digit win, but still that game was, you know, a lot closer than what we kind of was hoping for. And, you know, and one thing that concerns me, and JJ touched on it preseason show, was about the Les Miles moment. When's the Les Miles moment going to happen? Well, hopefully it was this past weekend and it's done with, because for the life of me, I cannot understand against Idaho why you would make the change, moving Hurst to the left side and trying him over there when the Idaho defensive end is having his way with Josh DeWasa. But you wouldn't do it against Auburn. And in your press conference Monday, you didn't really give much of an inclination that you were going to do it against Towson or Florida or the rest of the season. He said DeWasa is the guy left tackle, and their plan is to just give him more help with running backs and tight ends on that side. Well, you're taking away offensive weapons at that standpoint. So, you know, there's only 11 guys on the field. So there's got to be another solution. If he continues to struggle, I don't see the problem with putting Hurst on that side and putting Vidal Alexander out on the right side.
He's getting beat not with just straight bum rush. He's getting beat with the speed. Where he's getting beat.
Oh, yeah,
and I think
yeah.
That's where his injury's coming in.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't have that mobility anymore. Yeah, okay, if you're lined up against a 320-pound, you know, D-tackle or something, okay, because he's not going to get around you as fast. But when you're playing those 270, 280, 260, somewhere in that range, those speed guys, hell no. That's when the chain's got to – and that's what's got to be looked at. They've got to make that change and put the fast speed guy on a speed guy to keep up. Footwork is the key, and he cannot move with that injury. Now, as far as a pure offensive lineman and getting a push, yeah, okay, I'm fine with that. But like I say, you cannot move fast enough to protect the outside.
You know, and one thing, we talk about lack of adjustments. The one thing they did try to do Saturday, which obviously did not work, they started rolling Mettenberger away from the pass rush from the left side, and he is not a rollout.
He cannot throw on the run. At least not to that side. Maybe he can roll out the other way. Who knows?
That they tried that a couple of times. It didn't work. You know, and the two times he tried to dive for a first down and missed, it's just, oh my goodness. He just needs to have more pocket presence and more awareness on where he is on the field. I mean, I don't know.
Is that calling him like a freshman? Because he's never played full games at this level. I mean, but you got to get out the freshman mode quick because it's going to hit him soon.
Yeah.
He's got the talent. There's no doubt he's got talent. I mean, he can put a ball in a pinhole. He's like Robin Hood shooting a bow and arrow.
Now, we'll say this. He stood in the pocket like a man, though. He took some hits. He took his legs and he stood there and he delivered that ball.
His biggest issue is the porn stash.
He needs to get rid of that.
Oh, that's got to go. That and Justin Bieber cut. You know, pick an identity, but you can't be both.
Right, yeah, you got to go either one. Either John Holmes or Justin Bieber. You can't. John Holmes and Justin Bieber don't go together. You know,
no.
Ron, you know, so I really don't. I have no idea if John Holmes had a porn stash or not. I'm sure he did. I'm not up on my John Holmes knowledge, so I apologize for that. Go show. So, but you know, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here, Patrick. I mean, it's.
Well, I mean, you really can't talk much about Towson. What's there to say about Towson? I mean, wasn't the Towson game the game that the guy ran the wrong way earlier this year? After receiving the punt or something like that? I think that was the game. Whoever that was against, I think that's the game they played in that game. But that's about all I know about Towson right there. I know that their nickname's the Tigers. Okay.
Yes. They play Tigers back to back. Yeah, but it was against Kent State that happened.
Yep. So, I mean.
Podcast, wealth of knowledge.
So, what does that tell us? Nothing.
Oh, you know, no, nothing.
Like I say, I'm looking to just get mentally focused, use this game to get back on track, get it. Get some confidence before you got to head to the swamp, you know, because really that's what we're preparing for right now, is that that's going to be a huge game, and that's going to be Florida's, you know, thought Auburn tried to salvage their season. We're going to walk into the same damn thing. That's going to be Florida's, okay, it's time for us to come back out party, you know?
Right, and looking ahead to that game, Florida is, after last week, are they now a top 10 team?
11.
So they could potentially be a top 10 team based on who loses in front of them, because they have a bye week this week. So,
you know what I would like to talk about, though?
What would you like to talk about, Patrick? It's an open arena for us here tonight. We have carte blanche.
Let's talk about how many SEC teams are ranked in the top six.
Four.
Isn't that crazy?
Four. You know, we lose one. Well, Arkansas was never ranked top six. I think they were top eight. But we lose one, and we just replace them. We're on the verge of having five in the top 10, which is just
moving everybody up.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And then you got, you know, it's nuts. You know, they have top 10 represented by, you know, almost 50% of your conference.
And everybody keeps talking about, okay, these other conferences are finally starting to catch up and come on. When's it going to happen? Because, you know, they the media wants these other conferences to come on so bad, yet it just ain't happening. And it's not going to happen.
You know, and I get it. They want something different to talk about, because if the SEC continues to win national championships, they have, you know, it gets kind of boring as far as what they get to talk about. It's the same thing every year. The SEC just dominant. Who's going to unseat them? And that's how they're increasing their ratings. You watch the shows at College Football Live and College Football Blitz and the Experts and BCS Countdown Show. That's how they're going to get ratings, is by talking about who's going to be that team that's going to unseat the SEC in the national championship game. Does any team have a chance to beat us? You know, you look at it right now, I think Florida State is almost a shoe-in. You know, they have a very easy road the rest of the way.
Unless they slip up, I mean, and that's what they're actually talking about on College Football Live tonight.
Now, the game against Florida, let's see how Florida plays the rest of the season. I mean, that Florida game is not going to be an easy victory. So, you know, rivalry game, Florida looks to be improving. I mean, that's going to be a big game at the end of the year, potentially. So let's hope Florida has a loss by then. You know?
I mean, I know we're talking BCS talk already, but I mean, you think about it. If Oregon runs the gambit there, they want to keep them up there just because the voters will, you know, things like that.
Right. And Oregon still has, they're in Stanford's division. So they have to play each other. I think they play USC this season.
Yep.
And USC and UCLA was kind of making some noise until they got their behinds handed to them by Oregon State.
Well, so Oregon State is now ranked.
Yeah. So
after only two games.
Yeah, but let's see. Look at that, and that's a good segue, because that's kind of what I want to do tonight. Is you know, we're a third of the way through the season. We're kind of talking about that. Pat, What's your thoughts on LSU to this point? You know, defensively, you think we're right where we need to be? I mean, we kind of know what our issues are, because they all came to fruition this past Saturday. I mean, what's your grade on the team thus far to this point?
Well, let me grade each side of the ball, and then I'll give an overall grade here real quick. But the defense, like last year's defense, had, you know, they walked into the building and people were like, damn, you know, I don't want to mess with that. I hate to say they're flying under the radar as good as they are this year, but they are. They're under the daggone radar, and they are damn good.
You don't have number seven at it. I mean, they are flying under the radar. They are quietly amassing the same type of numbers last year's defense was.
Mateo made them talk about the defense last year because that's all anybody wanted to talk about. Honey Badger. There is no one guy that's the personality of this defense. It's everybody goes in there and does what they got to do, and we're going to be damn good as a team. I mean, the team concept of the defense is awesome. You're getting big plays. The tip pass drill from the DBs is, you know, we're going to be famous for that at the end of the year if we keep that up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You
know, but quietly, we're just doing what we're doing. And these coaches that are watching game film got to be saying, man, you don't hear them say much. You don't hear these big, huge plays. And then all of a sudden they get to the game film or the games and say, oh, crap, what hit us? A truck. You know, it's like a truck without a Jake brake when they're trying to slow down. It's very quiet.
Yeah, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, Pat, but I can almost guarantee that this defense has just as many takeaways through four games as last year's defense did. Now, we're not scoring touchdowns on all these takeaways, like, you know, because Honey Badger, not only was he a guy that could force fumbles, but he also made plays and scored touchdowns. He always made them at the right time. He either scored the 6 points or he put our offense, you know, within 20 yards of scoring 6 points.
Last year, the team needed that. This year, this team doesn't necessarily need.
The problem is,
it'd be nice, but they don't need to score.
Last year's team didn't turn the ball over like this year's team is now. So,
we're overcoming all of this with what we got now. But, you know, so you're relying on your offense a little more. Last year, you definitely couldn't rely on them. We knew that for a fact. All right. So, I mean, defensively, I give them, you know, right now, I give them the A-. I mean, they're damn good, but, you know, they get the minus because you're not getting a big plays. Now,
okay.
Let's move, before we move to the offense, because that'll probably be my lowest grade, special teams. Hell, Brad Wing had a bad punt last game.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Still punted for 42.5-yard average, even with that shank.
Yeah, even with the shank, you know, which I don't see him doing that ever again this season. You know, special teams, okay, we're, you know, ODB returned a punt or two and this and that, but, you know, we catch the ball. As long as we don't turn the ball over on special teams, we're okay. I don't consider ODB the big playmaker. You know, he's got deceptive speed. Yeah, he can weave his way through, but I don't consider him to be that Trendon Holiday, that type of guy. He's just consistent, going to catch the ball, which is fine. Okay, but. Because we don't. He might catch the punt. He just won't catch a normal.
He takes too many risks back there to fielding punts. I think he's pressing. I think he's pressing way too hard right now and
He's got to be the guy.
Yeah, I think so. I think he just needs to kind of take a step back and, you know, pardon the cliche, but let the game come to him. Because I think he's just pressing way too hard right now trying to make a play. He returned those two punts in the first game, and you know, ever since then he's just every punt he's back. He's not calling for fair catches when he should be. He's trying to field punts that he has no business trying to field. I think he just needs to kind of take a step back, take a breather, and he does not have to win the game for us. He does not have to be that guy.
Who's our other punt returner? I'm at a loss for this one.
I don't know who's second on the depth chart. It might be Russell Shepard or Michael Ford. I really don't know. Oh, it might be one of the safeties or the defensive backs. I really don't know.
If they have another option, this would be the game to try it, just to give him a break and let him look and see and, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're in a game, you get a different perspective if you're sitting on a sideline watching him field punts.
Right.
So, I mean, I'd almost like to see that if we get a chance. I mean, and obviously we should get several chances against Towson. Mm-hmm. You know, let's put somebody back there, give him a chance. Okay, look, talk, you know, if you're a special team, so talk to him on the side. You know, look, let's let our offense do it. They're going to come through. Just catch the ball. Just worry about catching the ball. So all you got to worry about, you know, drill it into his head, catch the ball first. Once you catch it, your blockers are going to be doing their thing. Just go after that. You know, so anyway, special teams, I give them a B, you know, B to B minus, just simply because of that. You know, it's a little risky and it's a little, you know, they don't quite have the big play capability as of yet, or they're not known for it yet, where teams aren't fearing them yet. And then moving on to the offense, you know, this will obviously probably be my lowest grade right now just because it's inconsistent and because of the turnovers in bad spots on the field. That it's not necessarily a turnover, it's a turnover in bad spots. I mean, to me, the worst spot you can turn the ball over, besides your own end zone, you know, to give them points right away, but the worst spot is when you're heading into your own end zone when you're very close to the goal line. Because not only does you swing the whole momentum of the game, you lose, you're taking points off your board, and then you're giving them the possibility, okay, boom. It'd be like punting from your two-yard line to go to the one-yard line. Okay, what's the point? And so I give the offense, until we just figured out and Mettenberger settles down, talent-wise he's got it, but he's got to mentally settle down. It's almost like he needs to take a volume before he goes out for a red zone offensive play. You know, just calm down. Maybe give him a shot of whiskey on the side or something. I don't know.
Maybe so. It always helps me.
You know, yeah, so. I've noticed that at each tailgate we've been to. You know, just calm him down. Say, look, this is what I want you to do. This is what you're going to read. First things first, get your snap. Secondly, hand the ball off. You know, we don't get that. Okay, we have an option on second down. We can run a quick slant. We can run an out pattern because he can throw the ball. You know, that's whenever you'd roll him out, or that's when you run something else and do your little thing, get a little confidence. So offensively, bottom line is I give them a C. They're middle of the pack. They're better than they were last year because they have more threat levels, meaning running, and they have the threat of passing. They've proven that, but they got to catch the ball. They got to finish now. It's not necessarily they don't have the ability and they haven't shown it, but they have to finish, and that's the whole key. They want to move up in my grading scale. They have to finish.
Yes, finish strong. I'm with you pretty much on all aspects. I might bump the offense up to a C+ just based off how good the running game has been to this point. Problem is going forward, every team in the SEC is going to continue to load 8-9 men in the box until we prove A, we can slow down pass rushes, and B, we can throw the ball downfield with some kind of consistency. Until we do that, we're going to struggle to move the ball and struggle on third downs. We're going to be forced in third and long situations, and we need to fix that. That is imperative. If we fix that, this team will be playing in Miami. I mean, if we fix that and do that consistently with the defense that we have and the running game that we have and the amount of running backs we can throw at you, even minus Alfred Blue, there's no doubt in my mind we'll be in Miami at the end of the season. I mean, I really truly believe that. So
let me ask you right now, and I'm going to put you on the spot. As of right now, looking at this defense, do you think anybody this year, minus the championship game or something, will score, say, over 24 points on us? Anybody?
No, because nobody did it last year except for Oregon, and that's because they scored a garbage touchdown late, and West Virginia, too, because they scored a garbage touchdown late. So, no, I mean, barring how many points they get off of bad turnovers by us, if you're talking just straight defensive points given up, no, not a chance. I honestly don't think so.
So, to me, if you can give up less than that in a college game, you should win every game.
I agree with you. Yeah, you should be able to. A college offense, especially a Division I college offense for a top five ranked team, should be able to put up more 24-plus points on the board every week consistently.
One exception will be us against Alabama.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, we'll have problems putting that many points up against South Carolina and Florida too, but, you know, this is where defense needs them. I mean, I was screaming at Saturday. I said, we really need a defensive touchdown. You know, a defensive touchdown against Florida, South Carolina will not hurt. So, you know, hopefully they're saving some of those. They had like two or three against freaking Idaho.
But you know, they weren't exactly outside of the box against Auburn. They were pretty vanilla, you know, overall offensively.
Yeah, they were.
Away with it just going in there and doing that? Okay, maybe I'm not going to show anything against another SEC caliber defense.
That's stubborn less, though.
We've seen it for how many years now?
You never know how that goofy mind of his is working sometimes. I mean, you saw it. I mean, 2010 is a good example. When you go out, you have that horrible game against Tennessee, and you play Alabama later in the season, you're pulling out all the tricks in the bag, you know, running tight end reverses on 4th and 1. So he's got I know he's got the mindset to make to pull off some gems at times and to do things to keep teams off balance.
It's not like he's got to worry about job security.
Not too much. No, he doesn't. So, you know, still in the back of his mind, it was that 2008 season, and that thing will. I mean, it's like a freaking virus. Thinking about all the interceptions and all that stuff that year, just a team is just a team that has the talent to throw the football down through and still hesitant to really unleash it. Although we did throw the ball 27 times Saturday night. So,
yeah, that I mean, for how many passes has Mettenberger averaged per game? I mean, minus the games he came out early, that's factored for quarter almost.
I'd say early to mid 20s,
which is pretty damn good considering last year sometimes we would throw the ball 13 times, 14 times.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so he doesn't have that confidence.
We snapped the ball 70 plus times last week, and they only snapped the ball 52. I mean, that's a pedigree for success. I mean, if you just eliminate penalties and turnovers, we win that game by 17, 20 points.
Oh, well, hell, that turning point, we score there, we wind up blowing them out.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So, let me pull up some season stats. Let me look at his numbers real quick before we do our picks and move on, because I'm not breaking down Towson. We've already talked about what we need to see for Saturday night.
I bet. So, can you name a player on Towson?
Yeah. No.
You can. Okay.
I could. I mean, I could cheat and pull it up on the internet real quick.
No. Without cheating.
No, I can't. No.
Exactly.
All right. Let's see. We're 101st in the league and 101st in the nation at passing. That's not good.
Well, we're 101st because we can't catch the damn ball.
We need to improve that number. Right.
All it's going to take is one game. I'm waiting for, and really, maybe this is the game. Okay, let's break it out. I want Mettenberger to have a 300 plus yard game. I really do, because to me, when you see a stat up there that says, "Oh, he's got a 300 plus yard passing game," oh shit, we got to worry about this. It's right. Psyche to the opposing teams.
Psyche.
So, all right. So I'm calling you out right now, Les Miles.
93 attempts on the season, divided by four, so that's what? That's 20 plus a game.
Minus the fact that he didn't play a couple of quarters.
Yeah, so.
And we had blowouts when we were running the clock
out. You're calling Les Miles out. You're throwing a goal.
I'm calling Les Miles out. I would like to see 30 plus attempts in the passing game.
And I'm not going to see it against Towson.
Well, I know. I don't care if it's against Towson. I want to see 30. A little over 30 attempts, and I want to see a 300-yard passing game.
Okay.
I'm calling him out. I dare him to do it. I dare you, Les.
You heard it, Les Miles. You know you're listening, too.
No, he's got to go find his new little link to get to this now.
Mississippi State's 4-0 and ranked number 21 in the country. Did you know that? You know it now.
That's quiet. Wow.
Florida's played 3 conference games. I'm just kind of randomly looking at SEC standings and shit.
Yeah, well, Tennessee.
Three conference. Yeah, Tennessee, Kentucky, and A&M. That's right. So, all right. Well, let's move on to the picks, and let's close this puppy out. We are getting close to the end. Once again, Patrick, we're not going to pick every game.
This went by quick.
Well, you know, time flies when it's two of us having fun.
Talking about random proverbial stuff, making up good stuff.
Proverbial poo. I forgot to introduce Podcat. I always forget to introduce Podcat.
He's like, that would be a good time.
Podcat, man behind the scenes. Pimp or pimp. Cajun Billy D. Williams. We love him. You should love him too.
You know he breaks out his dimple smiling every time you say that about him.
You know, he's introducing. He knows that me and you have more respect for him than anybody else that we hang out with. We don't treat him as much like crap as some other people, JJ. So, you know. You know, that's why he keeps us on all the time. That's why he keeps us in. As a matter of fact, when he got the headsets for the live shows, we were the first two to get them. That is pretty much right. Yeah. So.
But you know, you treat other people with respect, they treat you with respect. That's the way I was brought up.
Okay, here we go, Patrick. Go Show Pick'em, for those of you not know. Every week we do this. 12, 13, 14 games a week. We give out weekly prizes for most wins and all that good stuff.
Did Podcat get his own prize this week?
Does not get no, because we're on as and I use this term loosely, SB Nation employees, because my definition of an employee is you get a paycheck. I don't.
Ineligible.
So I should be eligible. Podcast should not be because he runs the site, but I don't write for the site. I am no way affiliated with the site. I just host a show which happens to be posted on the site. And we say in partnership. That's no affiliation. It's just in partnership. I mean, me and you are partners, Pat, but you know,
because they want us and they need us because they love this insight.
I think so. But anyway, go show pick 'em. If you're new to the site, you can still join, because you can still compete for weekly prizes. You know, for the season ending prizes, you won't win because, you know, you're too far behind, but you can still compete for weekly prizes. So never too late to join. Just look for every Wednesday, Tuesday night / Wednesday morning. Podcast post the instructions and the link. You can join up. Like I said, we pick against the spread every week. Here we go. Patrick, you were struggling this year. You have a losing record.
Yeah, but I had a good week last week.
Is it really? I'm 18th right now. I don't know where you are. I'm only like four games behind.
No, so. I'm 35, but I moved up from 50-something, yeah. And I had a decent week.
That's good. As long as you're moving up, that's the most important thing.
The key is to be at the top at the end of the season, right?
The key is, yeah, you want to finish the season on top. So, I don't think podcasts ever finished anything on top, but anyway.
Whereas last year it got kind of boring because I was on top the whole time. I'm looking for a challenge this year.
Is that what you're doing? You just kind of you rope a doping, you Muhammad Ali in it?
Yeah, I'm sandbagging.
Okay. Any other kind of analogy you want to draw there?
No, that's good for tonight.
Okay, all right. Stanford at Washington. Washington home team getting 7.5. Patrick, what do you think about this one?
I was way down on Stanford after I saw him play that first game, but then I did, you know, obviously I watched a little bit of that USC game and I watched a little bit the other game. They've got more to them than what I thought. You know, they're going to be tough. I don't know as much about Washington. I know it's a Thursday night game and I know it's at Washington, so that always plays into a factor. But man, I don't know. Stanford's kind of changing my mind here. It's that half a point that kills me here, but I'm gonna take Stanford. I mean, they're a top 10 team right now. Somebody will have to come up and beat them.
I like Washington at home to cover this spread, mostly because for LSU's sake. You know, I'm totally picking this with my head. With my heart. This game is actually being played in Seattle. Pocket wants to point out to me. He's sent me a little message here on Skype. Washington Stadium is under renovation, so they're playing in Seattle. Are they playing in Seattle? See it like that goofy looking stadium Seattle plays in with that thing.
Who didn't see the Seattle stadium the other night?
Quest Field. So
who did not at least see the part of the field?
I don't even want to talk about that.
We're not talking about that. Who didn't see the field?
I saw the field. Who didn't see the field, the regular ref?
Hey, can I say one thing about that? But I'm not talking about the referees.
Do you really
can
have
we
to?
Actually say? Can we actually say that the SEC officials are better than that?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I don't think it's too far of a stretch.
Wow. Okay, that's all.
Off topic. Off topic. We go as we always do. I like Washington to cover. Don't think they win. I like them to keep this within 3 to 5 points. I think Stanford's going to eke out a victory.
Oh, did you see the post that our producer put out there? That the most famous Towson football alum is who?
Joe Vitt. Suspended interim coach.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So I like Washington. Let's see. Next one we're going to pick is a good one, Patrick. Uh-huh. Baylor 3-0, still undefeated despite escaping when they went against Louisiana Monroe last Friday, traveling to Morgantown, West Virginia. And getting 12.5.
Well, they're not playing at night, so there'll be no fog rolling in. But West Virginia has got one potent ass offense, and they're playing at home. I think West Virginia lays the proverbial coal mine and axe to them here.
Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement with you. Geno Smith might win the Heisman Trophy. I'm gonna say probably will.
It ain't gonna be Barkley, thank goodness.
Yeah, I like West Virginia by at least 3 touchdowns. Yeah, I think they're gonna score about 50. You know, Baylor might score 25-30.
This game's gonna wind up being an over under of like 95-100.
Yeah, and take the over. So I like West Virginia. That's what I'm going with. Where we at? Arkansas at A&M. Arkansas 1-3. going to Kyle Field, getting 13 and a half at Kyle Field.
Wow. I have no confidence in Arkansas whatsoever. They are a bad, bad coached football team. Good job, John L. And you're in debt. So you don't bet on your own team in this game, John L. Smith, because A&M's going to get their SEC prowess on this week because they're officially a member after they played their first game, and they're going to beat Arkansas at home with the 12th man in the heat at A&M. They're going to beat them by about 20 points.
Yeah, this Arkansas team, this is reminiscent of the 89 LSU team is the best team I can compare it to. I mean, different circumstances, obviously, but LSU was highly touted in 89, going back a few years, but stumbled out of the gates, actually opened the season against A&M, lost that game, struggled to a 4-7 record. Michael Archer got fired, and the rest is history. But yeah, Arkansas is going to continue to, the snowball's in effect. A&M is going to get a nice little win here and cover that. I am laying the 13 and a half, and I'm going to A&M as well. Next game we will look at as I go down the line. Big 10. We're going to go to the Big 10, Patrick. We're going to Ohio State, going to Michigan State. Michigan State reeling. I don't know what they did last week, but, losing to Notre Dame, a couple weeks ago. Ohio State going to Michigan State, getting 3.5. This is a, I don't know about this spread here, but getting 3.5 at Michigan State. What do you think?
Well, you know what I say? Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten, and Ohio State has nothing else to play for but an undefeated season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think you're seeing this. And, you know, they're proving it, and they're playing for their first-year coach. They're playing for next year. They're playing for recruiting. So I'm going to take Ohio State here. I think Michigan State was much better last year, obviously, with Kirk Cousins. They just don't have the quarterback play this year to lead them, and they don't have the skill players that they had. So Ohio State has all of that. Ohio State wins by about 10.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think we've agreed almost on every one of them so far, but I don't see any scenario where Ohio State doesn't come in here and win, other than the fact that the only scenario I see that they don't win is the Michigan State win. Obviously,
there you go. Well, there's some
analysis.
Michigan
State, a lot of people are high on Michigan State to start the season out, but I just don't think they're as good as people thought they were. I think Ohio State goes in there and covers this and wins.
The fact that they lost to Notre Dame put them way low on my book.
I hear you. No doubt about that. Back to the SEC we go. Tennessee on to Athens. Getting 14 and a half against Georgia Bulldogs.
Ouch. This is a tough one. This is a very tough one. Is Georgia really that good? Or is Tennessee making a comeback with their program? Yeah, I'm about to flip a coin on this one because the 14 and a half points is very, very tempting to take Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 3-1. They're not a bad football team. They did play the one game that, you know, against Florida that they, and that's how I'm gonna pick this game is based off the way they played against Florida, and the way that eventually Florida warmed down and came through. And it's at Athens. I'm taking Georgia, and I'm laying the 14.5.
You know, for Florida's sake, and Florida fans' sake, and for Florida team's sake, they definitely want to see Tennessee go in there and cover that spread and play Georgia tough. This is when you're going to find out, was Tennessee just kind of a pretender early on in the season when they were kind of reeling off some wins and people thought they were the third or fourth best team in the SEC? Or are they going to actually, you know, still kind of make some noise and kind of contend for that SEC West here? I don't see them winning. That is a big number. Georgia can definitely score the points to cover it. But I think the number is a little bit too big, and I'm going to take Tennessee. I'm going to go ahead and give it, and I'm going to take Tennessee.
It's all going to depend on a turnover and how much protection Tyler Bray gets.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Let's see. What else do I want to look at here? I think that's let's go. Let's pick one more before we go LSU Towson.
All right.
Wisconsin at Nebraska. Wisconsin 3-1, but a very deceptive 3-1 against Nebraska. 3-1, in my opinion, a very deceptive 3-1. Nebraska given 13.5, or Wisconsin getting 13.5, traveling to Nebraska.
Nebraska's the only team that can compete with Ohio State for the quasi title of the Big Ten. So I'm going to take Nebraska in this one. I still think Nebraska's got a lot of talent. I just think that they don't show up every game. Hopefully this game they do, and I'm going to bank on the fact that they do show up this game to play, you know, full bore. So I'm going to take them to beat Wisconsin by about 16 points.
Okay. I'm disagree with you again on this one. I like Wisconsin to cover this spread. Just because I think it's too big of a number, I don't think Nebraska can score enough points to cover that against Wisconsin. So I like Wisconsin to go in and compete and keep this under two touchdowns.
I'd like to throw an intriguing game. I'm looking at this schedule. I think the intriguing game on this whole pick 'em list is Texas Oklahoma State. Even though we don't like to pick Big 12 games.
Yeah,
I still think that's intriguing because Oklahoma State has traditionally, you know, last few years has been a great team, you know, or been a very good team. Texas is you know, people are putting them up there because of their name, or are they up there because of the name, or are they up there because they're that good? You know, mm-hmm. For them to be 12 after the way they played the last couple of years, it's almost like a reversal of fortunes here with those two teams.
Right. It's odd seeing a team like Oklahoma State finish as high as they did last year. Not even ranked right now because, you know, and they're 2-1. It's not like they're 0-3 because they were preseason ranked, I want to say, like 20th or something like that.
Did they lose that much talent? I don't think so.
You know, when you lose a senior citizen at your quarterback position and a wide receiver.
True, but, you know. But so, still, I think it's an intriguing game to pick. You know, and just to throw it out there, I'm going to, as of right now, it may change before Saturday, I'm taking Texas.
Okay.
So anyway, that was I just wanted to throw that game out there. I just thought it was interesting, the reversal of fortunes there.
Yeah, I'll see with Texas. Texas might, Texas competes. You know, they're going to give Oklahoma some trouble, too, here in a couple weeks. That game is usually, I think, the same week as LSU Fall, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're playing next week. But I'm with you on that one. I like Texas. Texas continues to keep that ball rolling. You know, anytime you go in and beat an Ole Miss team by 30, you know you got something special. But yeah, Oklahoma State. This is definitely a rebuilding year. I like Texas. I like Texas to go in there and take care of business. And I'll lay the 2.5 and take Texas with you. All right, the game of the day. Game
of the week. Ooh, is it? Yeah, boy, I bet the TV can't wait for this one.
Towson's 0-1. It has to be just their record against Division I teams, right?
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's see. Podcast typing that message. I love Skype. Yes, podcast. Podcast knows his stuff. The Towson Tigers versus the LSU Tigers. Towson traveling to Baton Rouge, getting 39.5. Kind of a peculiar spread on this, Patrick. This is a Division I AA team getting less points than Idaho did a couple weeks ago. So, I don't know. I'm surprised this even has a spread. I'm shocked.
I think it's just the spread's based solely on the way we played last week. I mean, possibly. I think Vegas hates Les Miles because the man, if he ever so chose to change his mind on things, he could come out and score 70 points. Vegas banks it on Les Miles' mentality, and that's why you see in this spread, I think, only sitting at 39.5 or whatever it is. Yep, 39.5.
Uh-huh.
But I'll say I called Les Miles out. I know he listens to this show. I know he's thinking, you know what? That man is right. He knows his shit. I'm going to come out and throw the ball, and I'm going to put up, 50 – how many points did I say in my actual score? I said 59 points. One field goal. We're going to score 59 points. And Towson – because we're going to give them a couple of we're either going to give them a touchdown and a missed field goal or two field goals just because we like their namesake, meaning the Tigers themselves. And, you know, they're in it for a nice paycheck, so you want to make them feel a little good. You know, give them a going-away gift. Give them a couple of field goals. 59-6, LSU cover spread very easily.
Okay, I agree with you on a 59, but I'm going to go – they're going to kick 19 field goals and get one safety. If you think my math is wrong, if you think my math is wrong on that, do it. I just did it in my head, and it equals 59. So
it's way past my thinking time. I'm maybe going to try that.
Yeah, unless it's like Idaho and we score a couple of defensive touchdowns, we're not scoring 59 points in this game, Pat.
We're scoring a defensive touchdown. We're going to score a special teams touchdown. We're going to have return. Well, no, you're not going to kick the ball much, but the two or three times that we're going to return the ball off the kickoff, we're going to return it for a minimum of 40 yards each time.
Specific with your predictions here.
Well, I got to give the listening audience something to chew on.
Yeah, let me chew on that. I like what you had that. I like this game, 52-3, something like that. We're covering the 39.5, especially after last week. 4,000 is going to come in and get some frustrations. Well, she's been letting their frustrations out a little bit. 28-35 points at halftime. It's far within reach. And barring any stupid penalties and stupid turnovers, they're not scoring. Might get a field goal late. That's what I think. So,
52-3.
Just kind of brush off some things. Let's not get any more people hurt because we're already down with the 73 scholarship players now based off of people getting good on the team and academic ineligibles and season-ending injuries. Let's have an injury-free ball game.
Let's have a mentally crisp ball game.
Yes. Let's have over under on penalties, Patrick. Five and a half. Mm-hmm. I definitely want. I know what I want to see. I want to see it under.
I want to see it under. I think we. I'm gonna say we're gonna be at six. Okay. But it's not going to be penalties. It's just going to be normal penalties. It's going to be something like, we're going to get a stupid pass interference penalty or something where we're lined up offsides in a kickoff or something crazy.
Yeah, I think we end up over just because we'll get a couple. Like I said, I think we end up at like six, seven. Just because we'll get a couple extra with the second, third team in.
I would be happy with six or seven in this game if the two or three extra come at the end of the game.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. That will wrap up the show for us tonight. My thanks to Podcat behind the scenes, giving us news and notes throughout the day. Patrick Moore's out in Ponchatoula hanging out with me tonight.
You. Yep.
I am Gary Muntz for Patrick Moore's for Podcat. This has been the Go Show, partnership with AnnaValleyShow.com. You won't look for us. Don't look for us Saturday because I don't think we're streaming live. We don't have a generator.
Nope.
We'll be missing half the cast. So next week we'll be previewing. Previewing Florida and hopefully
we'll be doing a live cast for Florida is the key.
I think we should. I think that's definite because this year, I'm not working on Saturdays. I think getting to your house at a decent time, that mid morning. I think live cast at the Morris Residence for Florida is a definite possibility. And Podcast typed me another message. What's he saying? Podcast says sure, why not? The man says, sure, why not? He'll be at your house at 7 o'clock in the morning, Pat, so just get ready for that.
I'll have the coffee on.
So he might even be there Friday night. Which you'd probably rather because he's already there. He's not going to be knocking on your door and waking up the kids, something like that.
Yeah, he can just wake up with the rest of them.
Yeah. See you on Saturday again if you're coming out to a game. Tower Drive right in front of Coach Hall. Team got tailgating. Come hang out with us. Come drink a beer or 16. It doesn't matter. Somewhere in between that range. We'll see you then. Go Show, original Ocean Podcast. We're done. Bye-bye.